I am Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. And most of all, we like
self-care for yourself.
So last episode was our 100th episode, believe it or not. And Danae had shared her favorite Kim-centric episodes.
So this week, Kim is going to share her Danae-centric favorite episodes.
And it was really hard to narrow it down. So, in no specific order, I'm just going to talk about them. I do have my favorite, though.
Okay.
But, so my, I'm going to save that one for last.
Okay.
But, number six would be the Scream Murders.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was a really good one. That was one I was going to do eventually, but, like, you covered it. Nice. I think that one's just, because that's a movie that, like, you and me, like, even if the sequels are bad, we're always going to watch it.
Oh, for sure. It's like Halloween. Like, we're always going to watch the Halloween sequels.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter how weird and bad they get.
Well, we went to, like, that drink thing. We actually took pictures of it on our Instagram, and then we went home and, like, watched the Scream movie. And
yeah.
Steven ate so many the sour straws or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have diabetes. Please stop doing
please
that.
Please don't do that.
So another one was the Sickle Man.
That's a good one.
Because not only was that, like, a good scary one, but it was also, like, it's kind of a family story.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, that's when I was, like, Sickle Man. Sorry, I just gave the lead away. But that was, like, definitely one I needed to. Another one is the Denver Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because since you did that one, I've heard it, and I don't think, no offense to anyone, I don't think anyone's are as good as ours. Well, you just murdered it. We did it. Way. Another one, because we're doing six, was the Creepy Dolls.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how enthusiastic I was? I was like,
dude, I forgot about that one. I forgot about
that. That was a good one. Whenever I see Elsa doll, I'm like, are you alive? Are you alive? And I only see them at my sister's house.
Yeah.
Another one I really liked was the Miriam Rodriguez, where she was...
Oh, the vigilante.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. The entire time, we're just cheering for her. And mm-hmm. It was just, like, that was a fun one, because, like, what a fucking badass. Yeah. Like, to this day, like, I still think about that one. Like, whenever I hear anything about the cartel, I'm like... Well, Miriam Rodriguez was around. That shit wouldn't happen. So my absolute favorite of all time, and you know this, is the Ken Rex McElroy.
Yes.
That's a good one. The town and bully that, who was taken down.
That was a re-record.
Yeah. Which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not that we've had a lot of them, but like Scott Kimball was a re-record. The Curious Grace of Natalia Grace, that was a re-record, and the Ken Rex McElroy. So, in our 100 episodes, we've only had three re-records, which I think is pretty good.
Pretty
so,
good.
Yeah.
Pretty good record. Let's, for us. Knock on wood
and make sure that
it doesn't happen again.
So, what did you do this week for self-care?
So, this week for self-care, I've just kind of been hanging out outside, honestly, like enjoying the springtime and like hanging out on our patio and like enjoying the birds singing.
It's so not long in Colorado that you get that.
Yeah. Before it becomes summer and then it's like hot as hell.
Yeah. And then you're like, I'm mad constantly.
Yeah. So I've just been like enjoying springtime. What have you been doing?
This week for self-care, Ruger turned 10.
Rookies!
Yeah, and we like...
So that's like, what, 70 in dog years?
Yeah.
He's so, an old man.
Oh my God.
He's like a senior citizen.
It was such a good day. So, like, unfortunately you guys weren't there, but we went to the dog park with the bar.
Yeah.
And we hung out there. There was this girl and her dad were there, and the guy was like, is that a blue heeler?
Oh.
They had a heeler mix. And I was like, it is. Oh, cool. And he literally pulled up a picture of his blue heeler, and he's like, he was my best friend. Oh. He died last year.
No.
Okay, here's the part that still makes my heart hurt. He's like, he was 11.
No.
Yeah.
Don't say that, sir.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, he wasn't trying to be rude.
No, I know.
He didn't know that. Like, and I was like, it's Ruger's 10th.
So I told... It's like, not that... No, like, for a dog to die.
No. So I told Keith, I was like, can we just go to a vet? Because, like, that's going to be such a dark cloud over our lives when that happens.
Aww.
But the guy's dog was so cute, too. He was... And then... My parents were like, well, we want to do something. So we met them at Lazy Dog. It was a big day for Ruger. So we met them at Lazy Dog right after that. And they gave him a toy.
Aww.
It was like this little backpack toy that has a squeaker in it. Sven liked it more than Ruger, but I think it was for both of them.
I mean, it's got to be for both of them. Because, like,
she also messed up my order. So I think that's why they gave him a squeaky toy. It's fine. But then she also gave him pop cups.
Oh,
and Ruger was not very good at having one, so Sven ate stepped his up and she took was like, his
you know
too.
What? I'll take one for the team.
She's like, I'm doing this for Jesus. So
for Jesus, okay.
She had her pup cup, and then she had some of Ruger's because she has a longer tongue. But it was like a really fun day.
Oh, that's so
I just
cute.
Can't believe he's 10. I met him when he was 4.
Yeah,
like
dogs are the best.
When he was going through his teen, his
angsty teen.
Yeah,
years.
He was. He's like, I'm listening to Take Back Sunday. You wouldn't get it.
God,
like,
it's I don't not a get phase, it. Mom.
Yeah, it wasn't a phase, but he's over it now. So.
So it was a phase.
Yeah, so a little bit. So what are you telling me about this week?
So, oh, sorry, that sounded weird.
I'm also very nasally, and I apologize. I'm already nasally on here. Like, I didn't know my voice was going to be like, hey, hi, guys.
It's springtime.
But, oh my God, I'm dying.
I'm going to tell you this crazy story.
Okay.
About Roger Rojas and his World War II treasure and how a corrupt leader stole said treasure.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
Yeah. So this was, I found this accidentally because I was doing research for another episode. And
look at you.
It was on Unsolved Mysteries Season 5, Episode 15.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The original with Robert Stack. And then there's, like, a whole bunch of other articles that I used.
Robert Stack, R.I.P.
What a saint.
Mm-hmm. You know how many cases he probably solved?
So many.
So many.
I love when it's like...
Yeah, they do the, like...
Update, and then
it makes you so happy.
It makes me so happy.
When I'm, like, watching a case, I'm like... And then they're like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, because it's always like
it's good always
news.
Good.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a whole bunch of articles, but I'm not gonna tell you them because
we list them in our show notes.
That and then also it'll kind of give it away a little bit. So
okay,
we're going to 1970. We're going to Luzon in the Philippines.
I'm trying to be there in my mind as much as I can be.
So let me tell you. The island of Luzon is actually, according to AI Overview on Google search, it's the largest and most populated island in the Philippines. It's located in the northern part of the archipelago.
Do you know the population by chance?
No. Okay. But it's also the country's political and economic center. It's home to the capital city, Manila, and Quezon City.
So okay, it's like, so it's basically RGC.
Sure. Kind of. Sure. So we're going to zero
in Silicon Valley
on our main man of the story, 27-year-old Roger Rojas. He was a former Filipino soldier and a locksmith.
I was going to ask if he was Filipino born. Mm-hmm.
So he and his bestie, Albert Fujiami, loved to hunt for treasure in their spare time.
With a metal detector?
No, they, like, fully were, like, researching treasure maps and, like, it was, like, a whole thing.
I kind of think that would be fun.
It sounds so fun. You get to, like, go into the wilderness.
I'm like, is it weird that I'm like, oh, let's go. No, I want to do it. Let's do it.
And it was all, like, kind of, like, fun and games until it wasn't. And they found literally gold. They struck gold. So, I'm going to tell you about it. I
mean, below oil, that's, like, the best thing you can find.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Albert's dad was a Japanese man who had served in World War II. He had shown Albert a treasure map as a child that was supposed to lead to part of the legendary Yamashita's treasure, or also known as Yamashita's gold.
Do we know who that is?
He was a war general in World War II.
Okay.
And according to Wikipedia, this treasure was an alleged war loot that was stolen from Southeast Asia by Imperial Japanese forces during World War II, and it was supposedly hidden in caves, tunnels,
so war loot,
or underground complexes in different cities of the Philippines.
Okay. So war loot, I'm thinking guns, was it?
No, it's like gold.
Okay.
Like, truly gold.
Because I just hear war loot and I'm immediate like AK-47.
No.
Okay.
So Albert had recreated this treasure map from memory and he presented it to his bestie, Roger, and he's like, should we do this? Let's be rich.
If and I showed you a treasure map, would you come with me?
Immediately, yes.
Thank you.
Duh. If anyone shows me a treasure map, I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Okay, I don't feel special anymore, but
well, fair. If it was you, more so.
Okay, thank you.
So they're like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So the two decided they're not going to play around. They found the site that the map indicated would be the site of the gold.
Okay.
And obviously, like, if a treasure is about to be found, they want to find it. So they're like, let's hire a team so we can actually excavate and, like, find these underground tunnels.
Okay, so they're not fucking around. They're like, let's get other people in on this.
Yeah, like, let's fucking do it. So they had people help them excavate the site. And 7 months into excavating, they found some underground tunnels.
That would be really interesting to find. How just cool. In general.
Even if it was just the underground.
Yeah, tunnels. That's what I'm saying. Like, fuck the treasure at that point. But it gets better. You just found something really cool.
So they find these underground tunnels. They find, like, railroads that are within those tunnels.
Do they know around what year these are? Or is it, like, so World War II? Yeah, or the underground. So, like, 1939 to 45.
Yeah, it's, like, World War II era. People, the Japanese were hiding this specific treasure underground in the Philippines.
Okay, I'm just like, what year? But yeah, World War II makes sense.
And so they find these tunnels, they find the railroads that are within the tunnels, and mm-hmm. they start to kind of like follow the railroad tracks, and eventually,
as anyone would,
they get to a sealed off room, and they're like,
oh, that's where the treasure is.
So,
treasure.
They find it and they're like, okay, we know that, like, perhaps this could be the treasure, but also we have to be aware that if it is the treasure, there could be, like, some booby traps, you know?
Well, 100%, yeah, like, makes sense.
No one's just gonna, like, hide treasure
here
without,
you go.
Any, like,
yeah.
booby traps.
You have to do some,
you know, you gotta stuff. Dip beneath the lasers.
Yeah.
And so they go, and basically, there were no booby traps. But
that's surprising.
I know. They ended up taking this wall down to the hidden room. And Roger is like, I'll go first. Just in case there's anything
I do
crazy.
Like that he's not like, oh, one of the guys we hired. How about you
right.
go first?
Yeah, no, he's fully like, let me do this. So he goes into the room, and he finds... Oh, and this, I'm sorry, I forgot to say the date. This was on January 24th, 1971.
Okay.
So he goes into the hidden room.
So technically 30 years probably later.
Yeah.
Okay.
He finds the skeletons of 10 Japanese soldiers from World War II.
Are they wearing the Japanese uniform? Mm-hmm. Is that how he knows?
Okay. So this indicates to him, okay, this is supposed to be a Japanese, like, treasure that they've hidden. That's kind of a good sign, right? That there's soldiers.
I would just, me personally, I'm just saying this, and I don't know the story. I've never heard the story.
Mm-hmm.
I would think this is where they just hid dead bodies, and I would wonder if it was, like, the enemy that hid dead bodies.
But who's, like, digging tunnels for just, like, dead bodies?
I don't know. People are weird. They do weird things. Yeah. I would just be like, maybe this is the enemy. But that's, I'm saying this without knowing the story.
Well, that's wrong. So,
good.
What he found Thank next God. Was way more exciting. So, deep within the room, in a hidden cavity, he found a solid golden Buddha that was 3 feet high.
Oh, shit.
And weighed a whopping 2,000 pounds.
So, this wasn't something that's just like,
no, let me... this was full on treasure. Then they moved deeper into the tunnels and they found boxes and boxes of solid gold bars. Like, literally picture, like, a pirate.
I feel like golden like bars, a I'm miner. Like, there's no way it's a bar.
And, like, him. a bar of gold.
Yeah.
Boxes of those.
I'm thinking of, like, Scrooge McDuck. Yes. Having the bars of exactly. gold. That's what I think of.
Exactly. So, he's finding all of these boxes of gold. He's like, holy shit. This treasure map was legit. We found the treasure. OMG, we're about to be rich as fuck.
I just need to know how they got the 2,000 pound thing out of there.
So they did get it out with 10 men.
Okay.
And they had to, like, roll it on logs to move it.
Okay.
So they got it
Sorry,
out of there.
Sorry, that was immediately, I was like, how the fuck yes. did they get it out of there?
Got it out of there, and they took it to Roger's home, which was, like, miles and miles away. I'm not sure how they did that. But yeah. they did get it out of there.
Okay, that was immediately before right. you even continued so the story. Big. I was like, how did
it's
they get
so
that
heavy.
Home?
It's not yeah, so big, yeah. it's just so heavy.
I knew what you meant.
So yeah, then they come up with this plan. They're like, okay, well, we need to, like, hire people to help us, like, get all the gold bars and stuff out of here.
I just
too.
Like how they're just including other people on this. You know, they're not just being like
Yeah, they're not being
greedy.
So they hire people. They sell some of the gold bars so that they can then hire people to then
fair,
take
very
everything
fair,
else out.
Yes.
And Roger took the Buddha home, which I had mentioned, and he had an expert come look at it to be like, is this like a
how
legit
much
treasure?
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, like how much is it worth? Yeah. And this guy comes over to his house and he's like, okay, it is real gold. And he offered a down payment of $160,000.
And that's in 1970, so...
So, like, a lot of money.
Yeah, so probably, like, close to a million now.
I'm not sure, but probably.
Let's what was the amount?
$160,000 US okay. dollars
in I will do the conversion. Keep talking.
So, Roger declined because he and his brother had noticed that when the expert came over... He was really looking closely at the Buddha's neck. So they were kind of like, okay, why is he looking at his neck so much? And so they started looking at the neck and they realized there was a seam, meaning that, like, the head could come off.
Of the
so,
Buddha.
Of the Buddha. So they're like, okay, so let's try to remove this head. They removed the head and guess what they found in the cavity of the Buddha?
What did they find? A person's body part.
No. They found diamonds. Like, handfuls of diamonds. So, more treasure. Amazing.
Okay, I'm thinking you're gonna tell me, like, they found...
something gross. No. They found diamonds.
Okay, do you want to know how much that 170 or...
160,000 US dollars?
And 1970 is what I did.
Okay.
So, today it's $1,292,000... $981.44.
Okay, so you were really, you were
so,
like pretty
yeah,
spot
I said
on.
1 million, but it's yeah. like 1.3
sure.
essentially.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So they're like rich. They're yeah. going to be rich.
How stoked would you be if you and me like made like 1.3 million? You
so that's like, cool. just the Buddha.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like,
and then,
that alone.
And then they've got all those
gold bars.
And now
the
now
diamonds.
They have a million bajillion diamonds. So, they're like, holy shit.
Well, you kind of gave away what happened, so I'm very upset right now.
Yes, I did. But I'll get into it. So, news of the treasure, it spread quickly. Like, people all
I'm
around
sick.
Started to
Help
know.
Me, please.
And Roger's brother actually took pictures of Roger with the treasure to kind of be like, this was what I found, like, yeah, to document it.
Was his dad alive for him to say, hey, dad, you know that picture you drew me? Well, guess, motherfucker.
Well, it was Albert's dad, his best friend, Albert,
okay,
who had given him the map, and I'm not sure if he was.
Okay, that would have been nice to be like, hey, guess what?
Your map was right.
You changed our lives. Cool, we don't have to work.
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, the news of the treasure spread far, spread wide, and it eventually reached the ears of leader-turned-dictator Fernan Marcos.
So I don't like when dictators learn shit.
Right.
They and make, like, it not cute.
When you start out as, like, a elected official and then you become a dictator, it's a little problematic. She gets
a little rough. Just a little, you know.
So we can assume he's not the best.
No. I'm not assuming anything. I'm just going off of what I know.
He reigned from 1965 to 1986.
Yeah.
And he had a $10 billion net worth by the end of his leadership.
In the 70s?
Mm-hmm. And what all that money
was I don't even have the time to look, but it's in the trillions. I'm letting you know.
Oh, for sure. So, all of that money, though, it's not like he just, like, was a good leader. And,
absolutely,
like,
not.
Like,
absolutely
he
not.
Literally stole valuables from his own people.
Of course he did. That you don't become a billionaire because you're a good person.
No.
Sorry, guess what? That's the facts.
Yeah, so he's not super cool.
No.
And
billions in the 70s. That's trillions now. That's not a number.
No.
Bezos, like Musk, they don't have that kind of money. That's insane. Yeah. And they're not good people.
So when he heard about this, like, massive golden Buddha with diamonds in it, he's like,
yeah,
I'm gonna need that.
Yeah.
So on April 5th, 1971, Roger's home was raided and ransacked by Marcos's soldiers.
Of course it was.
They swarmed his home, they broke in, they stole the Buddha and the diamonds, along with anything else they thought could be valuable.
God, what dicks.
Dude, they even stole his children's piggy bank. Like, come on.
Can I just tell you a fun little story?
Yeah.
So, when I was little, my great-grandmother, my mom's grandma, had this cat. That was, like, this long, like, not a real cat. It was, like, a piggy bank that was, like, it had this long neck.
Okay.
It's like a giraffe, but it was a cat.
Sure.
And I would walk around with that, like, all the time. And I'd walk around with it because I just loved it. It was a cat.
Right.
And I was, like, cat girl. And when she passed away, she made sure I got that.
Aww.
Because, like, I walked around with it. I loved it. And I'm not going to mention who because, like, it's not important, but, like, we don't talk to them. So fuck these people.
Okay.
But it was, like, we need to make sure the change is out of there.
It's a piggy bank, relax.
My grandma was like, yeah, we could, or we could let her have the, what, $2 in it?
Right.
And he was like, and she gave him $2 so he wouldn't pull out the pennies of that bank.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, it's at my parents' house somewhere, but like when I was little, she gave him $2. She was like, here you go, if you care that much about $2 fucking.
Yeah,
she didn't
relax.
Say fucking because she was classier than me. But like, she was like, she's gonna grab out the money and stuff like that, and she just loves this piggy bank. That's why I got it. Like, it's,
yeah, the fact that they took a child
and I think she gave him like $2 in cash, like, are you that worried about it? Here you go. And it was all pennies, and like,
ridiculous.
I didn't even care about that as a little kid. I was like, I got the cat. Like, I was fucking six. Like, it's ridiculous. Sorry, that was just something I thought of.
No, but people are so weird about kind of like mentality where it's like a child's piggy bank probably has like
$2
in it. You're really gonna take that? Like,
it was all pennies.
So, and the family was home while this raid happened, so they kind of had to just sit there and like watch, and because
what were they gonna do? Yeah,
they were afraid that like they would be killed if they did anything,
if they disagreed, which is so fucked.
Yeah, so it was at that point that Roger realized that the expert who had come to look at the Buddha
was not really an expert. It was just a dictator with peoples.
He was working for the dictator, basically.
So, okay.
And had informed him, like, here's this guy. He's got this crazy treasure. You should go get it. Blah, 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 blah.
Hey, to our listeners, if you find out somebody has a lot of money, keep it to yourself.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. So, Roger reported the incident to the police, but Marcos was all powerful. Like,
yeah, what were they gonna do?
There's no way that anyone would dare to go against him, so it was just kind of like... Homeboy was
a billionaire in the 70s. That's not a thing. And
he's a dictator. Like, come on.
He's got two of the bad things against him. Billionaire, dictator.
And he and his soldiers were not afraid to use violence, so it was just kind of like...
Yeah.
Anyone who would try to go against him...
It was You're just going to get killed, and it's not worth any amount of money.
And then later on, after he realized, like, going to the police was completely useless, Roger was informed that he was wanted by the police and that his head had a price on it.
So my God. Did you see my face?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he had to, like, get out of town.
What the fuck? That's so fucked up. He didn't do anything.
No. He literally was the victim. He got stolen from.
He found his dad's treasure that his dad got him, and then he fucking, like, had a dictator. God, political people suck.
Yeah. So he basically had to be like, okay, bye. Like, let's protect my family. And
100%.
Fled.
Yeah.
Filipino reporters got word of Marcos stealing the treasure from Roger, and they printed stories that Roger had fabricated a second Buddha, like a fake one, to give so that Marcos took that one.
I would love for that to be true.
Because the reporters were, like, in opposition of Marcos, they, like, did not like him because he was a shitty dictator. And
they,
like,
stole everything, so they would have stolen that fake Buddha had he...
Well, they were just saying this to kind of be like, he stole the fake one. I said fake Buddha with, like... No, quotes. I know, but they were, like, saying, like, oh, Marcos was fooled. Like, he didn't even steal the real treasure. He stole the fake one, so he's a dumb idiot.
Oh, God, so he would go after this guy again. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
so they just kind of wanted to make him look stupid.
Sure.
And one journalist convinced Roger to come to Manila to identify this Buddha. And upon seeing it and inspecting it, Roger told the journalist that it was not the Buddha he had found. He stated it wasn't the right color.
I think it would be hard to fabricate something like that. That's very old. For sure. Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's not the right color. And the Buddha he found had a removable head. This one didn't. So spreading the news that this was a fake... obviously pissed off Marcos because he's like, oh, I stole the right one and whatever. He's a dictator and he sucks.
And he would lie. He didn't want to look dumb. Yep, you found it.
He didn't want to look dumb to all of his people who he was supposed to be, like, intimidating and be.
Well, we've heard the story of the Emperor's New Clothes.
Right.
You don't want to look dumb, but you're walking down the street naked because you act like you could see the clothes because only dumb people couldn't.
Right.
If you haven't heard the story, look it up, bitches.
So, at this point, Roger fled Manila, and he was tracked down by 3 palace guards.
Oh, God.
They made him get into a car at gunpoint, and then they called Marcos to let him know they've got Roger. And they basically wanted to force Roger into signing an affidavit that stated that the Buddha that Marcos had in his possession was, in fact, the real treasure, and that the opposition paid him to say it was fake, and that the raid they performed on his home was conducted peacefully.
So they're okay, just trying to cover all this up. Fucking sign it, but I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then also, God, they wanted to know the details about where he actually found the treasure. So, and he's like, no, fuck you.
I'm not doing any of that shit. Thanks.
Exactly. So they bring in an electroshock machine that they had kind of, like, MacGyvered out of auto parts. And they start torturing Roger.
Oh, they're shocking him.
Fucking why? They want him to sign the affidavit, and they also want him to tell, like, where he found the treasure so that they can go and find more if there's more.
Fucking, it's none of their goddamn business.
I know, but people are so greedy and...
Like, I know you're on my same side. I'm not like, Danae, no, you're evil, but, like, I know. Fuck it's off, messed up. Guys.
So they're torturing him. They're shocking him endlessly. They're burning out cigarettes all over his body. They're beating him unconscious. Like,
full heard about on Sylvia torture. Likens, right?
Who?
Sylvia Likens. She was like hella tortured. It won't be a story we'll ever share on this podcast, but like she was fucking tortured. Constant cigarette burns, like daily.
Horrible.
Some in her eye. It was awful.
Yeah. So they showed him a photo of his family and they threatened to kill him unless they told, unless he told them where the treasure
Roger
was
or
found.
His friend.
It was Roger. I don't know how they like just didn't get his friend, but it was Roger who was tortured. And
neither were fair. Yeah. Neither was fair. But I'm just like, because I know you were telling me that like,
I think friend. Because the Buddha was at Roger's house, that's why he was like the main guy. But he still kept his mouth shut, even with the threat of his family and all that. Like, he was like, no, like, I'm not telling you this shit.
Okay, so he endured, ends up okay, but it is a true crime podcast.
I know. So he endured hours and hours of torture. It even ended up causing permanent nerve damage to his left eye. Like,
oh, God, the eyeball.
They really messed him up.
Poor guy. Sorry, torture, I yelled.
No, you're fine. The torture went on for weeks, and then he did finally agree to sign the affidavit. Just stating that.
I mean, you can only handle so much until you're just like, whatever you need.
No, for sure. So he signed the affidavit, and it was stating that Marcos's Buddha was the legit Buddha, and that his home raid was peaceful. But he still would not tell them about where he found the treasure. He wouldn't give them any details
about
that. He
just played dumb, because I would have played dumb.
He just kept his mouth shut. And so, Roger, at this point, he was like, they're going to kill me. And he had also promised
to his best friend. Yeah, I would have assumed
regardless
they were going to do something to you. You're nothing to them.
Totally. He had promised his best friend, Albert, you know, that he wouldn't disclose where he'd found the tunnels. Like, so he was trying to keep good on that promise. Yeah. And they were just torturing him and torturing him.
As his friend, I'd be like, I get it.
It gets so sad.
Yeah.
And so then, they let him see his family for like 10 minutes. They were like, oh, cool. You signed the affidavit.
Okay,
here's your family for a minute.
So did they capture his family?
They didn't do anything with his family, luckily.
So how did he see his family?
They took him to see his family.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was just like...
So they took him to see the family, and they were just like...
Here's your family,
here's
bye.
Your family. Now, fuck you, we're going back, because you need to tell us about the actual location, which he still refused to do. And while he was being held captive with his torturers... They did not realize that he was a locksmith. So, when he...
In my brain, I'm like, how is that helpful?
So, when he went to the bathroom, like, they let him, I guess, have some privacy and go to the bathroom.
I mean, you're tortured. You might as well have some privacy.
He realized there was a window in the bathroom. And he used his locksmith skills to open the window and shimmy out.
Yes!
So, he escaped...
I'm cheering for him.
Yes. And it wasn't that long, though, before Marcos's soldiers caught him again.
Oh, damn it.
In July of 1972.
They killed him, didn't they?
No. So, again, he was subjected to countless hours of torture.
God, just let the man live.
Wouldn't be freed until November of 1974. So, 4 years? 2 years. 1972 is when they caught
him
again.
Okay, sorry. I thought they had him for a while. So, 2 years is just absolute hell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. You would not come out the same person after that.
Absolutely not. So, when he got out, when he was free, he and his family kept a very low profile.
Sure.
They kind of, like, stayed on the run.
Understandably
like, they had
so,
to
yeah.
really fly beneath the
radar. But what a true blue friend. You still, at that point, you just went through shit, and you still are like, nope, my friendship is more important than this.
Yeah. And so, due to living on the run and being in constant hiding...
I'm sure he didn't get to talk to his friend very much.
No, and unfortunately, Roger and his wife ended up getting a divorce, because it was just... It's just too much.
I can kind of understand that. That would be really hard.
That would be so hard.
Like, even if you love somebody, you're like, I can't keep living like this.
Yeah. And it just sucks because, like, the treasure that was supposed to create this, like, beautiful
life for both of these life men.
For his family, like, it ended up
destroyed it.
Completely destroying it, yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
And in February of 1986, during a revolt, Marcos actually lost power.
Good.
And
bye.
He and his wife Imelda were able to escape to Hawaii under U.S. protection.
Oh, why the fuck did we allow that shit? Guys.
I don't know. But Roger saw this as an opportunity where he wanted justice and he was like, okay. Well, now he's in the U.S. I'm going to, like, press charges. I'm going to, you know, make this
okay. a lawsuit. Okay, never mind. Good.
So he took legal action against former President Marcos
Ferdinand,
stealing his treasure. And to do this, Roger signed over his rights to a company that was established to try and legally press charges against the president. And this was called the Golden Buddha Corporation. So he signed over his rights.
Was it because of him that the name came?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And in return, he got, like, stock options or something. So he got, like, financial compensation. Yeah. But it was also kind of like, let's, like, hand this over to, like, a corporation where they can actually go for it versus me as, like, a citizen kind of thing.
100%.
So in 1988, the Golden Buddha Corporation filed a U.S. lawsuit against Marcos. In 1996, a jury verdict awarded the Golden Buddha Corporation $22 billion.
So that was a good choice for them.
It was a good choice. It was a good win. However,
he didn't have the money to pay it.
The problem with that was, like, how is it going to be paid out?
Yeah.
Like, there were so many...
Was he still a billionaire at that point?
Countersuits, yeah. Trying to figure out how to divide up all of Marcos's stolen valuable property. Like, mm-hmm. It was really like, okay, you got, like, the jury said that you need to pay this, but, like, in actuality, how is it going to be paid?
Yeah. Well, because people win, like, you know, $2 million lawsuits all the time, but they're supposed to get paid out doesn't have that kind of money. I mean, it's all the time.
Right. So Marcos died in 1989 and then
good year.
Roger died in 1993.
Ugh.
So this was kind of interesting. Some sources say that Roger died from cardiac arrest.
Stress of everything.
Others say the official cause of death was tuberculosis. One said that he drowned in a bathtub, and some speculate he was a victim of foul play. There was no autopsy done.
The foul play sounds very valid to Kim.
No one knows for sure.
Yeah.
So we don't really know, but potentially he was murdered.
What an insane story.
And this case was still in court. They were still trying to get this
after
money.
His death, for I'm sure his children.
Up until 2019.
Oh shit, so like 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Oh, 2019 right? is 5 years ago. So Roger's daughter was going after Imelda Marcos because, like, Ferdinand had
died. Is that
died.
His wife?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she was kind of, like, going after the estate of the Marcoses.
I don't blame her.
Fucking pay us money.
My dad died probably because of cardiac arrest, because of the stress, and you also tortured him.
Or perhaps foul play.
I would 100% do that, because it's like, you put my dad through some shit, dude.
And so from what I can find, 94-year-old Imelda Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos' wife.
She's still alive currently?
She's still alive.
Wow.
She is still paying Roger Rojas' family. And the latest I could find was in 2019,
mm-hmm.
that she had only paid $1.4 million of the now $26 million that is owed to the family.
Okay, not so fair, but at least they're getting something.
At least they're getting something.
Yes, yes.
But it changed so many times, were so many different things that it went from $22 billion to now $26 million is owed to the family. Like,
I mean, 26 million you could live off of.
Oh,
like,
for
if
sure.
You're not
but
used
she's
to
only
having...
paid 1.4 of that. So, like, who knows
in
where she's at
how
today.
Who knows, like, how long, like, that's going to continue.
Exactly. So no one knows where the real golden Buddha is, but it is rumored
never found
that Yamashita's treasure may have been spread out among a total of 172 locations, and there are as many as 18 other golden Buddhas.
Oh, I hope no one got waiting. I hope it's like a deserving family that like has the golden Buddha, and they like look at it and they're like, ha ha.
Well, there's still 18 other that are out there that haven't been discovered, so.
Danae?
I think we need to go to the Philippines.
We're gonna go to the Philippines. I have my friend Brea. She is from, like, she's, like, Filipino.
Yeah?
But she moved to South Dakota. It's fine. We're gonna be like, Brea, we need you to,
We need to get a hold of that map, mm-hmm. and we need to go and find some of the Buddhas.
If you think I won't message her, I'll message her right now.
Some gold-filled, or
she's
some,
doing fun shit all the
diamond
time.
Diamond-filled golden Buddhas.
She'll probably be at the reception, so we can talk to her about it.
We're gonna be rich as fuck.
Yeah.
Let's go treasure hunting.
It's fine. Like, let's be rich as fuck.
Yeah. So that's the crazy story.
But guys, even if we're rich as fuck, we're still gonna do this.
Who, like, thought he struck gold, and then...
And then got fucked over.
And then got fucked, and then...
Yeah.
Kind of, it ruined his life.
God, you know, like, at the beginning of this episode, I was telling you I was cheering. Like, this is one of the good ones where I got to cheer for him. And yeah. I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Politics are so fucked, dude.
Well, yeah, when you have a dictator who's just, like, taking all of his people's
wealth. Billions
wealth.
In the 70s, like,
that's
red
a lot
flag
of money.
Number yeah. 1500.
And when they came to the U.S., they had, like, a shit ton of money.
Oh, I'm sure. You don't just...
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Even if I was a billionaire, I don't think I would spend, like, a big portion of that.
It's just crazy. So... Yeah, let's find some treasure.
So, don't mind me and Danae. We're going to go treasure hunting.
Going to go head out to the Philippines.
If you guys want to send me and Danae a nap. Wow, I would like that too, though.
I do like naps.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. A map for treasure, we will go search it up. But
you can send that to us at mysteriousmaidenspod @gmail.com.
If you want to see any pictures of people involved in this case, we're at mysteriousmaidenspod on Gmail.
On
Jesus.
Instagram.
We're also on Facebook and TikTok. And it's on all of these. It's mysteriousmaidenspod. We've kept it easy because we love you.
So send us your stories. Send us your treasure maps.
Compliment Danae's hair. It always looks good.
Thank you.
You're always killing it. It's baby spice today. I'm loving it.
It is baby spice today.
Yeah.
Compliment Kim on her amazing short shorts.
Thank you.
She looks really good.
Thank you. They're a size bigger, and I'm not upset about it, but they are, like, looking really big, and I'm like, okay. You know.
Sometimes you gotta have space.
Yeah.
Space to dance.
I'm saving space.
And that's fine.
My wedding dress is not. So...
So, until next time, self-care yourself.
And stay safe, as always. Yeah, self-care and stay safe.
Yes.
We care about you.
And find treasure.
And always find treasure and let us know about it and share it with us if you want.
Definitely share it with us.
We'll be really not picky about it, so.
Okay, bye!
Bye! Okay, I, like, want treasure, though.
Dude, wouldn't that be so cool?
So cool. Let's do it.